Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just say your name and and your title with the band.
I'm Jamie Van Valkenburgh, director of bands at Oakton High School.
Yes, and Oakton High School is in Vienna, Virginia, and we're talking because something really cool just happened. You all just won Metallica's first annual marching band contest. Out of like hundreds of submissions, you all won. That is awesome. So I guess first of all, congratulations. How does it feel to win? Has it set in yet?
It has not. I'm still processing it. I mean, it feels pretty awesome, but the kids are pumped. The communities and school and parents, band parents are really pumped. I mean, it was such a group effort to put it together that we're all just ecstatic.
When did they actually make the announcement? Did I see they did it on even it even made ESPN?
So my understanding was it was Sunday night. One of my sectionals instructors texted me a little after 9 and said, "Congrats on winning the Metallica competition." And I texted back quickly. I said, "Wait, what? Did we win?" And I tried to verify it, 'cause, and on social media or whatever, I texted my band booster president and vice president, and they were able to find it. But he saw it on ESPN.
So it was officially announced two nights ago, basically. Well, as of this recording, Sunday night. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's my understanding.
That's crazy. That's crazy. All right, cool. Well, I actually think for my purposes and for our listeners, let's move through it chronologically, when you heard about it, and then we'll move sort of through the whole process. So, all right. So when did you first hear about this and start coming up with, okay, oh my gosh, we got to do this. Let's come up with a routine.
Yeah, it was sometime in the spring. We had not determined our marching theme for the fall yet, and I was on social media, and I happened to see the announcement. And I'm a huge Metallica fan. I grew up at kind of the perfect time to experience the band. I mean, I was in they launched in 1981, and I was in middle school, I think, when the album Injustice for All came out. And I recall MTV played the song One practically on a loop. It was so popular. And back then, nobody had DVR, so you got home from school, you turn on the TV and you watched whatever was on, because you couldn't control it. And but I swear there was about a 50-50 chance MTV would be playing One. I'm exaggerating a little, but not much. So I've always been a big fan of the band, and so I thought, why don't we enter the competition? And I had no expectation of winning. I just thought it was fun. It was something to get the kids involved with and behind, and I knew the parents would love it because they're about the same age as me, so a lot of them would have had similar experiences when Metallica launched. And so I texted our arranger Kent Baker, and to see what he thought. I forwarded him the link, and Kent can be picky. He arranges not so much because for the money. He really loves it. He really loves writing and writing for marching band. And so if he's not into the concept, he won't write it. And he texted me back almost immediately and said, "Cool, let's do it." So at that point, he's over the next couple of weeks or a couple of months, he started writing. And then we really can't, and we have marching registration, the kids signed up, and then we really can't do anything until I get the music. And then the staff and I look at the music and start coming up with a concept, a theme to sort of fit the music, and also in conjunction with the band parents. And what we decided to do was to make it look, try to recreate the feeling of being at a Metallica concert. So, and running a marching band is a bit like putting on like a musical production. Like, it's so big and there's so many moving parts that the director can't do it all, and you have to delegate and also recognize things that you're not good at and that other people are better at, and let them do them and not have me not do them. And so the band parents for the last several years have been very great at coming up with props, designs, and then actually doing the building and throughout the season. And so they created to create the feeling of a stage, they had some fake light poles like that you'd see at an outdoor concert. And we moved the sideline percussion onto the field, again, to sort of create this feeling of it's actually a band performing. And that also kind of limits where the area of the field that you'll use, also continuing to create that feeling of a stage, and it focuses the audience's eyes to that part of the field.
Wow. So every football game this past fall, everyone, you know, halftime, it was, they got to see the Metallica theme show, and you called it Parade to Black, right?
Yeah.
That's so awesome, man. Lucky, yeah. Lucky people in the bleachers getting to watch this award-winning thing. They didn't even know it was going to be award-winning. Wait, so then, all right, so take me into, and I know there's a video we can post in the article of the routine, but, you know, just for, so I have something for the radio. What, tell me, sort of what all is on that set list for Parade to Black? What all Metallica songs did you include?
The Unforgiven, and these are all chosen by Kent Baker, by the way. He just went with it and he put together a great medley. The Unforgiven, For Whom the Bell Tolls, the ballad was, Turn the Page, which is a cover, of a Pete Seeger song that Metallica frequently plays.
Bob Seger.
Thank you.
Different, yes. Seger.
Rock Seger. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the closer was Enter Sandman. There was a little bit of The Unforgiven and The Memory Remains. Yeah.
Talk about how epic it sounds. Cause you know, we know it as, you know, heavy metal, hard rock, whatever you want to call it. But like, remind me, just explain sort of for our listeners how sort of extra epic as in a marching band sound. Like, to me, I would get goosebumps if I, you know, was there seeing it on the bleachers.
Yeah, well, so it's interesting. I think it's somewhat difficult to adapt the heavy metal to a marching show. And I mean, Kent did a great job. And then we also have, we pay someone to write the percussion book too. His name is Nick Kramer. And yeah, the instruments don't sound the same. We did add a guitar, but we didn't use it necessarily exclusively the whole time. Because rock music and heavy metal, it has a, it kind of turns along, develops a groove. And so you have to sort of manufacture highs and lows so that it, that correlate with what's happening on the field with the marchers and with the guard.
Gotcha. It's, I can't imagine having, like you're saying, had to adapt that. But hats off to you. All right, cool. So we'll post the video to all of it. So how does that work? I assume what's next then? You filmed it and you submitted it to, I guess, submitted to the competition. How does that work? Like when was the deadline?
I believe it was November 17th. What we did, and not every band that entered did it the same way. And the guidelines, I'm assuming because this was the inaugural competition, the guidelines were kind of loose, you know. Some bands submitted just a recording of a football game from the press box. Some bands clearly set aside a different time to record it, but again, just video from the press box. And what the band parents said, I decided to do, some of them have AV experience. We decided to not do it at a football game so we could control the, you know, crowd noise, things like that. And also, you know, perform it more than once in case we needed to do another take. And so we, after the marching season was over, we reserved our stadium on a Tuesday night. And we had one camera set up in the press box. We had parents with other cameras for close-ups on soloists and features and things like that. And we hired a audio engineer to come out and make a professional audio recording of it to use as the baseline. And then the kids performed it 2.5 times. And then we sent the audio engineer, mastered the recording over the next couple of weeks. And we kind of got down to the wire. We got pretty close to November 17th. I think I submitted on November 16th when it was finally ready. And, but a band parent did the editing and he wove together a pretty nice, collage of different viewpoints, along with the audio. And it has I was really happy with the production value of the completed product. Yeah. So I uploaded it like on November 16th, I think. And we just waited. And then sometime in December, I got a text from another teacher here at Oakton who is a former band parent at another high school, and she loves marching band. She congratulated me for being a finalist. And so the next day, the way I revealed it to the kids was I actually just put it up on the screen, the smart board, as they were coming in. And then I, with my phone, I filmed their reactions when they read that we were finalists. It was great. The jaws dropping was epic.
That's awesome. So, and that, so then when you say finalists, it was you were one of five finalists in the small band category, but there were other categories, I'm guessing.
Yes, there are three high school categories based on size and then two collegiate categories based on size.
Okay. And how many are in your band? Like what qualifies a small band for you guys?
They set it up 75 or less, I think, was the small, and we're around 70. We used to be a much larger marching band, but COVID really kind of did some damage to our numbers.
Yeah.
Virtual band was not pleasant, and a lot of a lot of kids walked away.
I can imagine. But that's, I mean, either way. So, but that was your category, small band category, and so you're one of the five finalists. So then you're, I guess, in December you film your kids' reactions and their jaws dropping, and then I guess that sort of brings us up to the present. Then, like you already said, you just got a text from a friend who saw it on ESPN.
yeah, it's crazy.
That's great. So, all right. So what do you win then? So the top for winning your category, what do you win?
Well, my understanding is it's $15,000 worth of equipment and instruments from the vendors that sponsored the competition. I haven't received any communication from the competition yet, other than from their PR, Jillian Condren, but I expect to hear soon, but I don't know what it looks like if we get to pick, or if they just have packages already put together. I don't know, but it's 50, and I'm pretty sure they're not giving us the cash.
yeah, it's Con Selmer. Is that the manufacturer, the instruments?
There were several. Con Selmer's instruments. Sweetwater was on there. There was a number of different sponsors, and that's my understanding. But this is the first, it's inaugural competition, so
right.
It's a little up in the air, or in my at least as far as I know.
Right. All right, cool. And then, I mean, in addition to the money, which will be great for future instruments and stuff, like also just talk about sort of the glory of it. I mean, the students and you, I mean, you'll probably, will you be riding this high for a long time?
I think so. It's bigger than I thought it was. I'm still, as I said at the beginning of this, I'm still processing it. But then there, and thank you so much for interviewing me. The interview requests have been like just overwhelming, in a good way. It's looking like we're going to perform it on live TV on Fox 5 DC in the next week and a half or so. So the kids are pumped about that. When I told them that, we're just very, very, very excited. So yeah, we'll see. But it's a big deal for our band and our community.
That's so cool. I was going to say, I was going to want ask if there was any way you could bring them into WTOP. And that's up to you. I know you have so many requests, but man, a marching band marching through this radio station would be insane.
if we could do it, we would certainly try.
Well, maybe we'll follow up on that, but I'll get this article and these radio pieces up first, just to announce that you all won, because since that's sort of more of the recent breaking news. What else? I mean, I think I have enough to work with. I'm just trying to think. Oh, is there any talk of like is the band itself gonna, try to meet the kids or at least do like a virtual thing saying congratulations, or like what interaction with the actual band is there, if any?
I don't know, because again, it's inaugural. I mean, throughout the last several months, it was interesting because they would, if questions arose, they would update their website. So, I think they were kind of figuring out as they went along too. So that hasn't been communicated. That'd be awesome. I'd be more excited than the kids, I think, but,
James Hetfield. Oh my God. Lars Ulrich.
Yeah. That'd be cool, but I have no idea. In fact, one of my dad friends in my neighborhood, that was the first thing he texted me, because he's also a huge Metallica fan, and wanted to know if we're going to get to meet them.
Yeah. Well, I guess stay tuned for that. At the very least, it's really cool that they thought enough of you all too. I mean, that's validation, man.
Yeah.
A career of hard work paid off. Hey, remind me before we go, you said you listened to him growing up and watching one on MTV and all that, but where exactly did you grow up?
Oh, I'm from upstate New York, near Syracuse area.
Okay, and what brought you down this way?
I went to college at George Mason University.
Okay, so you're a George Mason alum. Okay, and then you sort of just stayed in the Northern Virginia area after college, loved it around here?
Not exactly. I got my master's at Mason too, and I taught public school for a few years, but then I decided I thought I wanted to teach college, so I went and got my doctorate at Arizona State, and lived out west for 9 years. I was a professor at a small college in Colorado called Adams State University, but then by the time my daughters we were my oldest was a year and a half old, she had taken 10 round trip flights to the East Coast to visit mostly family because all our family's on the East Coast, and my wife and I thought, we should go back. There were a couple of jobs, high school jobs, were open, and so I interviewed for one, and then got and then all and then a little while later got interviewed for at Oakton, and was hired. So we moved back here 11 and a half years ago.
Wow. And I guess just sort of in closing, dish on what you love about the student body, the teachers, the faculty at Oakton High School. Yeah, just build up your colleagues and your students.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, I first of all, I have great students. That they want to be good. They're willing to work hard. They have a good attitude. The general feel of marching band right now is, even before the competition, has been very positive. And I have great band parents that are super helpful. And I'm fortunate to work in a department of the performing arts department where we all, I think, are good at what we do, and we get along well. We work together well. We all come together. We kind of do our own thing with our different disciplines, orchestra, chorus, and theater. But we come together for a big musical production every spring that we're all involved in, and so it's nice to be a part of that. And then I have a supportive administration, and and teachers. It's a great place to work.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking so much time with us today, and congratulations on the big win. That's such a big deal. If there's one piece of the competition that you think pushed it over the edge, what do you think it was? Because you rattled off the songs, but what do you think it was? What got it over the finish line?
Two things. One, the quality of the video production. It was very professionally done, but also it's had an authentic feel of being there. It wasn't overproduced. That was, I think, an important factor. And then the other thing is that we started doing as a band, philosophically, we compete and we're competitive, but we also embrace the entertaining side of marching band shows. And so over the last several shows, we found that it works really well for audience engagement to have sort of a big moment about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the show, to really pull in the audience. And so this year, what I had them do is we planned a drum sorry a percussion and guitar feature about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the show. That highlighted our guitar soloist and the percussion section in general, and then also we had a drum set soloist that was highlighted. And during that time, I had the woodwinds and brass march behind a backdrop that we had on that was helping to set the stage. And when they were back there, the band parents and I had it set up where they replaced their marching hat with a 80s hairband wig. And so when they after the end of the percussion and guitar feature, the music stopped and then started again on back to Enter Sandman, and the whole rest of the band marched out on either side of the backdrop, rocking out with their 80s hairband wigs on.
Ah, nice.
And we got a great response from the audience, and the judges, the competition, found it hysterical, and they finished the show with the wigs on. So that was the big moment.
That is awesome. I'm sure that, yes, I think that the wigs and the flashing back to the 80s is probably the secret sauce. Awesome. Well, congratulations again. This is awesome. It's gonna be a fun story. I'll try to probably run this maybe like tomorrow morning, I think.
Okay. Oh, there is a friend of mine, another band director from that I went to college with, pointed out there's a bit of irony here, because he told me and I verified it, that the founder of Napster went to Oakton High School.
Really?
And that's the and Metallica was one of the bands that sued Napster over piracy.
Yeah. Oh, we've come ironically full circle on that one.
Yep.
That's crazy. Awesome. Thanks so much. Congrats again.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you taking the time to interview me.
All right. Rock on. See ya.
You too. Thanks.